anything. Well, appreciate you being here this afternoon, and we want to finish up our Mission Emphasis Sunday by dealing with a subject. We're going to call it the Great Omission. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He promised that He was going to give power, that the Holy Spirit was going to come. He was going to give power so that His apostles might then be able to fulfill the command that's found in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where it says that you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the early church then, with the Holy Spirit in their heart and the Word of God in their hand, they began to go to the nations of the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in fact, the early church did such a good job of it. They did such a good job of it that a bunch of unsaved men in the city of Thessalonica actually brought an accusation against the Apostle Paul. A bunch of unsaved men accused the Apostle Paul. Here's the accusation, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Turn the world upside down. They've made such a change in the cultures of the world that in the eyes of these unsaved men, these preachers of the gospel of Christ had literally turned everything upside down. Well, 2,000 years have passed, and even though God's commission to us has not changed, God's Spirit within us has not changed, God's Word certainly has not changed, yet the sad fact is we are living in a day when churches are not turning the world upside down. Rather, we're living in a day when more and more churches are becoming like the world. Becoming more and more like the world. And as a result of that, folks, we've lost something today. We've lost something. The Great Commission has been replaced with the Great Omission. The Great Omission. But because I'm talking about churches who have and know and believe the truth, we as individuals who know and have and believe the truth, because we have lost sight of the commission that Jesus Christ gave to us, I'm afraid that missions has been omitted from our list of priorities. Missions has been omitted from our list of priorities, and the tragic result of that is that we see a world that is in really sad shape. Really sad shape. We're told that the population of our world today is about 7.3 billion people. Now, I know that, you know, that's a number that we throw around, but the truth of the matter is none of us really can understand that. Billions of people. We can't really grasp how many that is. And let me just try to give you an idea. Suppose we were to take all these 7.3 billion people on earth and we were to line them up in single file and we were to give each person 1 foot. Okay? 1 foot. That's about how much space you get in the economy section on the airplane, all right? But something about like that. When we go to Cambodia, you'll find out what it is. It's about 30.5 centimeters, okay? 30.5 centimeters. And suppose we take 7.3 billion people, we give each one 1 foot. That means that there would be 5,280 people per mile. 5,280 people per mile. You also know the distance to the moon, from the earth to the moon, is about 238,900 miles. So if we were to line all the people on earth up and we were to give each one 1 foot of space, that means that the line of people would reach all the way from the earth to the moon and back 3 times. That's how many 7.3 billion people is. Multitudes. Multitudes. Now here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. According to one database, the Joshua Project, you can check them out online, there are over 16,000 people groups in the world. 16,000 people groups in the world. Of those people groups, more than 9,700 have been reached with the gospel. That does not mean they have all trusted Christ. When we say that they have been reached with the gospel, it simply means they have the opportunity to hear about it. They have the opportunity to hear the gospel story. But the saddest part is that more than 6,800 people groups are still unreached. They've never heard. And if things continue as they are, they'll never have an opportunity to hear. Never have an opportunity to hear. By the way, South Asia is home for more than 3,300 of these unreached people groups. That's our neighborhood, our region of the world. And that multitude of people who've never been reached will die without hope. They'll die without God. They'll spend eternity in a place of terrible suffering, a place called hell. Now, there are many people who get bothered by that. There are many people who say, how can a God who is loving and how can a God who is just, how can He send people to hell who have never heard? How can He send people to hell who have never had the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel? How can God do that? How can God do that? And so many times people hear such a statistic as these and they become what we might call righteously indignant with God, and they begin to blame God for being unfair and unjust and unloving and unkind and all those other things. But let me remind you of three things, just by way of introduction. First of all, let me remind you of God's love. The Bible says, God so loved. In other words, there's no way to describe the amount of God's love. It is just He so loved, and notice it, He so loved the world. In other words, He loves every person, and the love of God extends to every person. There is not a single person on the face of the earth that God does not love. Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't love everybody in the world. There's some people I don't even like. But God loves everybody. There's not a single person God does not love. Not a single person. And it's because of God's love we see then God's provision. God's provision. And God's provision is simply a way of salvation that has been provided for all people. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, for example. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He, by the grace of God, notice this, by the grace of God, He should taste death for every man. We talked about it this morning in the morning hour, how that Jesus Christ took upon Himself the sin of every man and every woman, every boy, every girl. He died in our place. He paid the penalty for our sin so that the wonderful promise might be given to all of us. It's found in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's provision, made for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see God's love, we see God's provision, but then we see number three there, God's arrangement. God's arrangement. And God's arrangement is simply seen in the fact that during His ministry on this earth, Jesus Christ established a church. He established a church. The Holy Spirit then empowered that church so that the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the message concerning the provision that God has made for all people, so that that message then might be carried to every person in every nation. as we saw in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That is our Great Commission. So when we hear about the multitudes who are going to die without hope and without God, and when we hear about the multitude of unreached people groups and all of that that are in our world, instead of pointing our finger at God and saying that God is unjust, God is unfair, and we begin to blame Him for it all, I think rather we ought to just look in the mirror. There's the problem. There's the problem. Because you see, God has done everything necessary to make salvation available to all men. It's not God who has failed, it's we who have failed to do our part in God's plan, in God's work. So instead of speaking about the Great Commission, I'm going to talk to you about the Great Omission. The Great Omission. Three things I want to share with you about it. Number one, it is a deceiving sin. This Great Omission, it is a deceiving sin. In dealing with this first point, we need to understand that there are two key categories when it comes to classifying sin. First of all, there are sins of commission. There are sins of commission. In other words, this is when we actually do something that is contrary to the law of God. We God says don't do that, and we do it anyway. We commit a sin. That is a sin of commission. In fact, that's exactly what we find in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It's when we break God's law. We do something that God says we're not supposed to do. So that is a sin of commission. But there are also sins of omission. Sins of omission. Sins of commission is when we do what God says we should not do. Sins of omission are when we fail to do what God says we ought to do. That is a sin of omission. James chapter 4, verse number 17 gives us a great example. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. If we know something is good, we know something is right, and we do not do it, then that's a sin. That's a sin. And this is where the deception comes in. This is where the deception comes in, because in our human perspective, we somehow have deceived ourselves into thinking that to ignore God's command is not as bad as breaking God's command. In other words, if we ignore God's command, God will kind of overlook that, but if we break His command, then we're in trouble. And we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. It is a deceptive sin. The truth of the matter is, failing to obey God's command is just as wicked, it's just as sinful, it's just as ungodly as it is if we go out and break all 10 of the commandments. Charles Spurgeon, back in 1868, he made a very good statement. Here's what he said. He said, "I suspect that the unnoticed superabundance of sins of omission may result from the fact that the conscience of man is not well alive to sins of omission." We need to remember that to disobey what God has commanded, to ignore what God has commanded, that is a sin. It's a wicked sin. It's a terrible sin. Let me give you an example. If you were to steal from somebody, I hope you would feel guilty about it. I hope you would. And if you were to commit an immoral act, I would hope that you would feel guilty about that. You would be ashamed of your immorality. And you would want to repent of that act that you have committed. But I wonder, suppose you forgot to pray for your brother. Or you forgot to pray for your sister in Christ. Would you feel guilty about that? Would you feel bad about it? Well, we should. Because you see, if we fail in that, it's just as much of a sin as it is to steal or to be involved in immorality. That's why the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, the prophet Samuel said, God forbid, notice it, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. If we omit this business of praying for one another, we're sinning against God. We're sinning against God. And it is just as sinful, it is just as sinful to fail to obey God as it is to willfully break His commands. And that's what we're talking about here. When we talk about the sins of omission, this is what we're talking about. Because you see, five times in the first five books of the New Testament, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Luke chapter 24, verse 47, John chapter 20, verse 21, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, five times in the first five books, we are given the commission that God desires that we fulfill to carry the gospel to every creature. Five times God tells us that that is His plan, that is His purpose. And if we are not involved in that work, then we are deceiving ourselves when we think we are good Christians. And we're deceiving ourselves when we think that we're right with God. Sins of omission. We need to understand it's sin. It's sin. And so to ignore the Great Commission is a deceiving sin. It's a deceiving sin. Not only is it a deceiving sin, number two, it is a determined sin. And the reason is simply because it is not a sin of ignorance. It's not a sin of ignorance. Certainly men may sin in ignorance, but through the Scriptures, ignorance is never an acceptable excuse. It's never an acceptable excuse. As soon as a person in the Old Testament days, as soon as a person was made aware of the fact that they had sinned, they didn't know it when they did it, but later on they found out that what they had done was sin, and as soon as they were made aware that they had sinned, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 4 says, they were pronounced guilty. They were pronounced guilty. And in Numbers chapter 15, verse 24, they were commanded to bring the necessary sacrifices in order to be right with God. Ignorance is never, it's never an excuse for sin. However, the sins of ignorance were seldom a problem with the nation of Israel. Sins of ignorance were seldom a problem. Their most common problem, stated very clearly, Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Lord God said this, "Obey my voice, yet." Yet. "They obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart." See, the problem is not that they were ignorant of what they ought to do. The problem was they just didn't do what they ought to do. They just ignored it. And they went their merry on way. So it wasn't sins of ignorance that was the problem. And the very same thing is true with us today. Our problem when it comes to sin in our life, it's very seldom a sin of ignorance. Very seldom a sin of ignorance. In other words, we know full well what God wants us to do, but we, armed with all kinds of flimsy excuses, deliberately determine that we're just not going to do what God says. That's why the favorite song sung at funerals in America is, "I did it my way." Well, that's your problem. You did it your way. You should have done it God's way, right? But that same mentality can come into our lives as well as Christians. And so again, James is speaking specifically to people who have been born again. Here's what he said. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let me give you a silly illustration. According to the Singapore Cancer Society, cancer is now the number one killer in Singapore. I saw that online. Cancer is the number one killer now in Singapore. And according to the website, it says that 1 in 3, that means 1/3 of all Singaporeans, will die of cancer. Now, let me show you what that looks like, okay? Look at the person to your left. Now look at the person to your right. One of you is going to die with cancer. Statistically, okay? Statistically. By the way, Americans aren't any better off. According to the National Cancer Institute in the U.S., approximately 38.5% of men and women will be diagnosed with cancer during their lifetime, and 1/3 of them will die from it. So it's a worldwide problem, this thing of cancer. Worldwide problem. But suppose I discovered a cure, a magic bullet, cure every type of cancer known to man. Just that one pill cures it all. Cures it all. What do you think? Would it be good for me to just kind of sit on my discovery and don't tell anybody? Or would it be better if I get some space in the newspaper and I begin to advertise all over the place on the internet and printed matter and all, we have found a sure cure for cancer? Well, that's kind of a no-brainer. I told you this was a dumb illustration, didn't I? I warned you. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? The good thing would be for me to make it known. The good thing, the decent thing, the moral, right thing would be for me to let people know, hey, I've got a cure right here. I've got a cure. Now let me make a spiritual application. We live in a world where every person is infected with a disease far worse than cancer. It's called sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that every person is infected by this sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that spiritual reality, every person, not 1/3 like with cancer, with this disease, it is 100% mortality rate. Every person is going to die because of this disease. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But see, we know something, right? We know that God loves them. We know that. And we know that God has a cure for them. God has provided a way of salvation through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also know that God freely offers His cure to whosoever will. We know that, right? Hello? We know that? Oh, okay, good. But Brother Maverick knows it. Okay. And so we know that is true. We know that is true. So my question is, what do you think? Is it good for us to sit on the truth and be silent about it and not tell anybody? Is it good for us just to keep it for ourselves and ignore the need of everybody else out there? Is that a good thing? Is it good for us to do that, or would it be better if we were to make that truth known to all who are infected and all who are under the sentence of death? Again, that's another no-brainer. It's another no-brainer. If we have any spiritual understanding at all, we understand that the good thing would be to make that message known. To carry that good news to every person in every place. And so therefore, if we are not involved in telling others about Christ, if we're not involved in getting our missionaries out on the foreign field, if we're not involved in faithfully praying for them, as Brother Maverick mentioned, faithfully supporting them with our faith promise and with our finances, if we're not doing everything that we can do to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth, then we are failing to do something that is the ultimate good. Right? It's the ultimate good. And he that, look at it again, He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. May God deliver each of us from the determined sin of omission. The rebellious, wicked attitude that keeps us from doing what we know God wants us to do. But then I want you to notice the last thing. It's a deadly sin. It's a deadly sin. Now please understand, there is never any good that comes from disobeying God. We understand that, right? There's never any benefit, there's never any good that comes from disobeying God, regardless of what the world tells you, regardless of what Satan may tell you. You never get ahead by disobeying God. There's never any good that comes from that. In fact, the Bible clearly states the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, when we receive Christ as our Savior, John chapter 10, verse 28 tells us we have eternal life. And we will never perish. We will never perish. And so therefore, when we sin, whether it is a sin of commission or whether it is the sin of omission, it does not mean that we're going to lose our salvation and go to hell. Now, there are some people who teach you can do that. But you have to trash a whole lot of Scripture to make that point stick. The truth of the matter is, the Bible makes it abundantly clear from the teachings of Jesus through the teachings of the apostles, even to now. The Bible clearly states that we have eternal life. We will never perish. We'll never perish. However, sin is always a serious thing, even in the life of a Christian. Sin is always a serious thing because it will always kill. The wages of sin is death. Sin will always kill. You say, well, what are you talking about? You just said we have eternal life. What do you mean it's going to kill? Well, sin will always kill your fellowship with God. It will always kill your peace with God. It will always kill your usefulness to God. The wages of sin is death. And so our sin of omission when it comes to the matter of missions not only has a deadly impact on the multitudes of people who are not going to hear because of our neglect, but it also has a deadly impact in our own lives. The wages of sin, it's death. It's death. When it comes to missions, when it comes to taking the gospel to every person and every nation, it is a task that God has given. It's a commission that God has given to every one of us. It's a task that will require all of us. And I mentioned this morning, I'm going to mention it again. It's a task that will require all of us to go across the street. To go across the street. In other words, to tell our family, to tell our neighbors, our colleagues, our classmates, whoever it may be that we do business with, to go across the street and to share with those that we are able to meet about Jesus Christ. It requires some of us to go across the street. It requires all of us to go across the ocean. Require all of us to go across the ocean, either by going ourselves or by sending someone else in our place. But to carry the message to those on the other side of the world that they might know about Christ. The bottom line, whether it's here at home or whether it's in a foreign land somewhere, it requires all of us to be involved. All of us to be involved. In making the message of Christ known to the people of this world. God desires that we all be involved, and may God help us that none of us will be guilty of the sin of omission, but that all of us might be faithfully doing our part to fulfill the great commission of taking the gospel to every person. May God help that to be so.